Okay. What does Passover mean to you? Every year when Passover approaches, people focus on different things. And I'm not saying there's some right thing and wrong thing to focus on. Well, I am saying there's a wrong thing to focus on, but a lot of different things are out there for us that are good to examine and think about. Jews focused on God bringing their fathers out of slavery from the land of Egypt. But some people in the church, I think, it's my opinion, correctly focus on Jesus being the Passover lamb and his sacrifice for our sin. Because for us, I mean, that's a major thing of what Passover is. Yes, we're grafted in, and yes, we've got ancestors from ancient Israel, and some of us might be native, or might be, Israelites, native Israelites, doesn't matter. And thinking about coming out of Egypt is part of Passover. But just coming out of Egypt would all be for nothing if it wasn't for the Messiah. Others in the church, or churches, different groups, have a slightly different focus. Many in the modern church have spent years debating what is the proper time for keeping Passover. And it seems like that's what it turns into. Tell you a story. True story. It's about me. About 20 years ago, a man wrote a 600-page book trying to prove that there was a Christian Passover and then there was also a Jewish Passover, and he sent me a copy of it. He called me up and says, I'd like you to look at it and get back with me on your opinion. And I tried reading that book. I started out reading it. I was going on a trip with Pat and Paul Myers. We were going up into Kentucky. And I thought, well, we'll be sitting in the car. We'll talk for a while. And then when they get bored of talking, I'll took this book with me. And I sat in the back seat. And I was stretched out a little bit. And I was reading it. Paul was driving. I don't remember how far I got. It wasn't that far. It was just, 10, 20 pages. Literally, I picked the book up. And I was holding it. I just threw it across the car onto the floor. And I mumbled a few things, and but he claimed that anybody that was not doing it his way was out of covenant with God, and they were worshiping Baal and not God. My question is, should our focus for this great event be centered on calendar calculations? In other words, which calendar do you keep? Fear of having observed the right day for memorializing our Messiah's death? Does this religious dogmatism and spiritual confusion get into our hearts and minds and bring us closer or farther away from God? Now, a lot of people don't think it's funny, but I always talk about, you hear a lot about church dogma, and I don't care where you what church you're talking, they all have it. But you know what? Everybody knows what dogma is. Anybody from Knoxville already knows what dogma is. It's that stuff in the backyard you step in and you because it stinks. And it's messy. And if you don't clean yourself off of it, you're going to track it all over everywhere you go. Does this sanctify and prepare our hearts and our minds to even observe Passover if this is our focus? Now, I'm not saying, don't anybody misunderstand me, I'm not saying that it's not important to do it at the right time, okay? There is one right time to do it. And everybody's convinced that they're doing it at that right time. And everybody else that's not doing it like that is wrong. And you should be convinced that what you're doing is right. If you're not convinced, there's something wrong with you. It's time to get your Bible out and do a little bit of study. Make up your mind and pray first that God shows you, and then do what it is you think is right, even if you're the only one. Now, if you truly are the only one, you better look at what you're doing very carefully and examine it and ask God to correct you if you're wrong. But if you truly in your heart believe it, it doesn't matter if anybody else is doing it. You have to do what is right. So yes, I am saying it's important to do things at the right time. I am saying it is wrong to use that belief to criticize and condemn everybody else that's not doing it your way. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and you convince somebody that was actually doing it correctly to come do it your way? That is on your head if you do that. Timing is important, but there's something that's more important than timing. That's what I want to get to today. I'll tell you a little bit of a story. On Friday, March 31st, 1444 B.C., God said something to Moses. Now, you may or may not think it's Friday, March 31st, 1449 B.C. That's okay. Okay? Your salvation doesn't hang on that. It could be 1228. But anyhow, back to what he actually said. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." They didn't know that it was even the first month, much less what day in the first month it would be. In verse 6, it says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." In verse 11, it says, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Let me ask you questions. Those that says that they were going to keep the original Passover, how many of them think that they ate it in haste? Maybe they had a belt on their waist. Did they have sandals on their feet? Probably the vast majority of people that kept it this year because they were voluntarily quarantined from Corona probably didn't have sandals on their feet. But that's it's close. They might have had shoes. And a staff in their hand. Did they have a staff in their hand?
Probably not.
Well, then they didn't do it like the original Passover. What matters most? Go ahead. What matters the most? Like I said, while observing Passover when God commands it is important, what is the meaning and the significance of Passover? The date of the ritual? Is that what it's all about? Or observing the holy day, the sacred time, keeping the commanded assembly, the holy convocation, approaching our father and our elder brother. Instead of arguing about the proper day or the proper hour, first we need to ask, how does God want us to observe this holy day? First, you learn what you're supposed to do, and then you can say, when am I supposed to do this? If you do it at the right time, but you're doing it in the wrong way, do you think that that's okay? No? Go ahead. If you go through and you read Exodus 12 and 13, this is the story of the first Passover, and the Israelites prepared days ahead of time by selecting a lamb and setting it aside on the 10th day of the month, and on the 14th day of the month between the two evenings, the lamb was slain or sacrificed. Its blood was smeared on the doorposts of the homes of the faithful who ate it in haste while waiting inside, with their staff in their hands ready to travel, until the firstborn of the land all around them was killed. And after midnight, then it was the death angel had passed over, then it was safe to prepare to leave Egypt. Now in Exodus 12:6, there's a Hebrew phrase, Ben Ha'abayim, that's translated. The translators talk about evening, and people say, you know, means between the two evenings, and I've got an opinion on all of that, and probably everybody here has an opinion on all of it. But I went and, you know, I don't consider myself a scholar in Hebrew. I took beginning Hebrew 3 years in a row. So that should tell you something. The rabbi kept putting me back in the beginning Hebrew class. You know, he didn't flunk me, but, you know, come back the next year and take Hebrew again, and here I am in the beginner's class. So it's like kindergarten, 3 years. It took a while to get out of that, okay? But I know just enough to know when somebody's giving me a load of dogma. Okay? And I call them strong theologians. To look up a meaning of something in Strong's and say, there are one of two ways to do it. They'll either take the first word that comes up on the list and they'll say, this is what this word means in Hebrew. Well, that's the way it's most commonly translated in the King James Bible. You know, if you have a Hebrew word and it's translated 50 times as one word and 40 times as another and 10 times as another, that should tell most people that depending on the context of how that word appears, it can mean different things than English. So you got to look at it in context. But some people say, nope, I like the first one. It's always the first one, so I'll go with that. Or they go in the list and they pick out the one they like and they say, this is the meaning in Hebrew of this word. And I used to get really frustrated because people would be telling me everything, you know, oh, this is what this means in Hebrew. And so anyhow, I took some Hebrew classes and took some classes after I went down to the synagogue. I took some online classes and some DVD, but none of that really matters. But I wanted to find out the little bit I could what some of these things were. And what I did find out is there's an awful lot of people lying. So I realized that I'm not fluent in Hebrew. But I know some people that are. A professor that teaches it in a university. Other friends that are fluent people, even friends with people that's their native language. So first thing and the easiest thing to do is if I wanted to know what something in Romanian means, like there was a word one time I wanted to know what it means, Buddha. Israel's laughing. I would go and talk to somebody that was fluent in Romanian, and preferably that's their first language, and say, hey, what does Buddha mean? I wouldn't look it up in some interlinear dictionary and take, you know. But so I asked some questions. What does Ben Ha'abayim, what does it mean? And just because somebody tells you that doesn't mean it's the truth. So I ask more than one person. But in other words, do some research. Don't take the easy way out. It is important, but more important is what you're doing and how you're doing it. Some claim this means between the two evenings. Some claim that it means the beginning of the 14th. Others claim it means the end of the 14th. But let me ask you a question. If timing is the main point, if that's what we're supposed to center in on, why does God allow this confusion to happen? Do you ever think about it like that? I assure you, He is allowing this confusion to happen. He wrote it in such a way that two people that are really dedicated to God and want to do what's right can look at it, and one will come up with this conclusion and the other will come up with that conclusion. Do people think that He's incapable of writing the Bible in such a way that there'd be no way to misunderstand what He means by that? Somehow He's incapacitated? We need to understand that God isn't grading us on our understanding of Hebrew or dates, doctrine, and even dogma. I think what He wants is love and worship from His children with a pure heart. If we get the ritual perfect, but our hearts aren't right, we're wasting our time and we're bringing down condemnation on ourselves. Look at the scribes and the Pharisees. They were at the right place on the right time and doing it the wrong way. And Jesus told them that their father was Satan the devil because what was in their hearts. I'm serious about this. It's important to be at the right place at the right time. But if your heart is wrong, your father is Satan the devil. Go ahead. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. Chapter 30. I'm going to read verses 13 through 26. Here we read about a remnant of the northern tribes that came down to Judah and kept Passover in the second month. The Bible shows us it's the heart of the people to do what is important. Because you know what? They did it incorrectly. Technically, they did something incorrectly. Now let's see if we can find what they did here. But it was okay with God. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 13 says, "Now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month. They rose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They stood in their place according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priest sprinkled the blood and received from the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves." So, see, there was something they were supposed to be clean and pure, and they had not done that. So they were not supposed to take Passover. That's a violation. It goes on, it says, "Therefore, the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them for the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover," and here again, "contrary to what was written." They were violating who could do it. "But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, 'May the Lord, the good Lord, provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers. Though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. See, in that, although technically they were unable to take Passover, he said, may the Lord God provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. Their hearts were in the right place. They wanted to do this so much and to become close to God. And God overlooked their technicality, the flaw that they were doing, and healed them all. He cleansed them. He sanctified them. Where do we get off judging people on a technicality and we overlook what's in the heart, in our own hearts? Now, you can't truly know what's... Some people, it's kind of easy to tell. But for most people in the church, they're pretty good fakers. They hide it. And they put on their church clothes and their church smile and they go to church. Fight with the wife and kids in the morning, but then show up at church and they're all smiles and everybody looks great. And they tell each other, everybody, they love each other. And then they go home and fight all the way home in the car. And nobody knows. Except their wife and the kids. Or their husband and the kids. Goes both ways. God knows. But there is one thing. If we're honest with ourselves, you can kind of figure out what's in your own heart. And that's what I'm saying we should be looking at. Yeah, do it at the right time. But make sure that your father is not Satan. Look at what's going on in your heart. Or you're no better than this. Remember what the Bible says? Sodom and Gomorrah was like, what's the evilest of the evil we can think of? They're going to rise up in the judgment against who? Scribes and Pharisees? Because of what is in the people that should have known, that were tasked to know in their heart. They let corruption and vanity and greed and whatever it was consume them. Lust for power, whatever it was. In 70 AD, the temple is destroyed. Oh, well, there goes a 1,500-year tradition right out the window. God didn't expect this holy convocation, this commanded assembly, to just go up in flames. To disappear, to no longer be observed. He showed us the place where it is observed is not as important as the way it was observed. And for anybody that doubted something similar to that, you could watch the whole city go up in flames after a siege was laid around it and people were starving. And if you read some of the things that happened during that time, it was not a very nice place to live. Okay, go ahead. What about the Last Supper? Was it a Passover? Was it something new that was never observed before? Was it a day early because Jesus was the Passover sacrifice, the true Lamb of God? People disagree on these things. Many groups say it was the Passover. But they don't do what Jesus and the disciples did that night. Just some things, but not everything. What about the ceremony that took place that night in that upper room? Was it observed exactly like the original Passover in Egypt? No! Was it observed correctly? Absolutely. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for anybody else, right? Was it observed like the 2 Chronicles chapter 30 Passover? No. See, not all Passovers are the same. In the Bible, when you look at them all, they're not all exactly done exactly the same. But it is the same observance. They all carry the ancient core message, and many of them are very special. Things we learn from individual Passovers from the Bible. But not a single one of them is duplicatable. Even Jesus, with that Last Supper, had elements in it that we can't duplicate. Now, I suspect every once in a while there's a Judas there, but and that was a joke, but even that you can't duplicate exactly. God doesn't tell us to duplicate. Instead, He tells us to observe. And He tells us why. Go ahead. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" That's why we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be remembering Him and what He did for us. That's the why. Is the why more important than the how? The how might be important, but which is greater? Like, the most important. Like, what's the greatest commandment of all? Jesus was asked that question. That doesn't mean that the other commandments don't mean anything. But there is one, if you don't get it, you're wasting your time with the other ones. That's why people come and they want to talk about, you know, from clean and unclean to it. I want to talk about the Sabbath to somebody that doesn't keep it. I'm not going to talk to them about fringes, tzitzit, you know, technical things. If they can't get the Sabbath, you're wasting your time on the other stuff. Now, if they truly have a question on something, that's one thing. But let's talk about the Sabbath. Let's talk about any of the Ten Commandments. The perfect ten. Jesus told us that when we observe Passover, our emphasis is to remember Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself." It's a very dangerous thing to go into this with something wrong with your heart and go through this ceremony. It says, "Not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." By the time the church had progressed to this point, because of what was in their hearts, they were dying. Some of them had already died. They were dead. And others were weak and sick. And the reason was is they did this with the wrong heart. Even if they did it at the right time, they still were deader than a rock. That's pretty dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's why I said the most important thing is we need to look at our hearts. Tuesday morning, I went to the post office to get mail. And I saw somebody at the post office again that won't even speak to me. That Tuesday night was getting ready, going to observe this Passover. We got major problems in the churches. And they deal, and they are a lot more important than timing issues. Let's get our priorities straight. While timing's important, the emphasis is not on timing. It's on the death of God's only Son. For your sins and my sins. The Corinthian church had the timing right. I'm sure they did. Whatever they were doing, it was done at the correct time. But their attitudes cost them their lives. Don't let Satan use his fools to confuse you and to corrupt you. Don't forget to put the leavening out of your life before it corrupts your body and rots it from the inside and cause you to forget why we're doing what we're doing up here. Please examine your hearts today and understand why we're commanded to observe this holy day. And let's try and get sanctified and purified and get our hearts correct. And then we can look at some of the other issues. In other words, let's quit playing church and start worshiping God. Thank you.